This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, here we go. One in the books, two to go. Still plenty of time on the big show. It's Barry, Nick, and Joel on The Usual Suspects on a Tuesday. Way back Wednesday, tomorrow, we are coming to you live from Gatlin's Barbecue. So, good meals will be had by all, except Nick. And Nate Griffin will stop in and join us.
Okay.
So you guys should too.
My goal tomorrow is to get Nate to curse on air.
Good luck with that.
Not going to happen.
Not even close.
Somebody said insensitive or offensive Christmas songs for Way Back Wednesday.
Is it too soon for that?
Too soon for that.
Maybe next week.
And then, hey, Nick, if you don't mind me asking, why does it smell like you don't thoroughly wash your clothes? That's from AR Platinum. He said, happy Tuesday,
fellas. Would he know?
He's just because I was just messing with him about his clothes. And AR Platinum.
Just adding fuel to the fire. Oh. Thanks.
My bad. What are y'all's thoughts on the Jordan 1 Spider-Mans and the Mocha 3s dropping this weekend? I don't have thoughts on either of them.
The only thoughts we have, we tried to execute last night, if we do want to get into this. We are both fans of the
Concord
release of the Jordan Concord, yes. Which is the Jordan 11, if you go by the numbers. And it was re-released. And we were told, and I had several people tell me, including Raheel and others, that 2 million were dropped. So more than the normal average re-release, big, you know, release date kind of thing. And 1.1 million in men's sizes. So basically, they said, even if you were out of luck online, most of the stores, the Foot Lockers, the Foot Actions, all those stores should still have some. So Barry covered the north side. I covered the south side.
Didn't happen.
I saw a guy in the mall, Nick, in our area, trying on one of the last three pair and swooping them all up, even though they weren't his size, because they're going to try and resell them.
So he bought all three?
Yep.
What Isn't a there jerk. A limit, though? You can't just...
I thought that there was. They said no.
On drop day, there is. But if you're there on a Monday...
Yeah.
After the drop day and there's three left and you buy them, they're not going to stop you from doing that.
And in all three stores that had them yesterday or had them previously, they said normally they line up. The minute the gate goes up at the mall, they're gone and cleared out within an hour. All three said at the end of the day, Saturday, they all had remaining pairs.
Damn it. I should have just gone to the mall in Dallas.
Yeah, you should have.
Yeah, you should have. And maybe you wouldn't have found
right.
Well,
shoes, but it would have been a chance.
So I do have my backup plan, but I'm going to have to pay like $280 for them if I want them.
Yeah, so the markup, which is normally substantial, they said is only in about the $30 range right now because there still has been availability. But then the guy teases me at Foot Action and goes, hey, man, I know that on our website we were going to release some more that we had held back as of this morning. So go on the website. So Barry and I did the same thing because I was texting him going, you got to try this. So I get on the website and there they are front and center. I'm like, boom, they did re-release them. I'm going to snatch them up. So I clicked on them, all kid sizes. So if Taylor wants a pair, I got no problem.
You know what I'm going to do? I'm just going to buy the Jordan 11 Retro Concord cleats and just wear those.
Just shave them down.
Just walking around in cleats.
Just shave down the
bottom. No, damn that. I want that click clack everywhere I go. Just
hope Le'Veon Bell's in your locker room and he doesn't show up and then you just raid his locker.
So I am on StockX.
That's your deal.
Yeah, $280.
I ain't paying that.
I mean, I put in a bid for $250. We'll see what happens. Because you can do a buy now or place a bid. If you buy now, they're $280. You place a bid. You can put whatever you want. So, I mean, you can get a. They range. They go from $257 all the way up to $308, just depending on the. Oh, I'm sorry, $397, depending on the size you need. So,
okay.
I don't know. I think I would probably end up paying $280 because I've always wanted a pair of Concords.
You need a six, right?
No, I'm not.
No, I had to text you last night.
I'm not,
I had to get your shoe
I'm
size.
Not that, like, I'm not hashtag blessed, but I'm also not, you know, I can't just buy a kid size. Like
I was going to take care of Barry last night. So this dude's trying them on. I looked at, I said, that size is smaller than mine. And I was like, I bumped the guy and I go, hey, of the three sizes, the one he's trying on right now, what size is that? And dude goes, 11. So I text Barry. I go, what size are you? I'm like, right now, Concords. Yeah. And he's like, 9. I'm like, dang it.
Yep.
Because I was like, so I was going to like hip check this dude out of the way and just grab the box and go, no, dude, you ain't getting all three. Sorry.
You can have two.
Yeah. If I can't get him, at least someone on the show got him. And then, yeah, it didn't work out.
Somebody, I posted pictures of these shoes that I bought on my Instagram. And somebody's like, bro, you wear a size 9? I was like, yeah, that's how Jesus made me. If you can figure out a way to make my feet bigger,
whoa,
then let me know.
I didn't
but that's
know
how Jesus
9.
Made me. Yeah.
You're like a 9 sizes, in Skechers,
two
right?
Two sizes bigger than Palillo, right?
Yeah, I was going to say, you're a 9 in Skechers or 7.5?
Yeah.
How does that work?
Size like, 9.
When just you compare the Skechers, is that men's sizes versus women's? Like, what's the size difference
I
between
don't know.
The two?
Are they, do they run small or big?
I would assume that the amount of people that wear them to walk the malls
right?
normally need a little bit extra room.
Right? Yeah. Sometimes it depends on the shoe, too. Sometimes I have to get a 9.5. I actually had a pair of 10s. I don't remember what the hell those were, but I felt like, I was like, yeah, I'm killing the game over here, rocking a 10, but I don't know what
you
the
know,
hell
my
they
feet
were.
Got bigger. I used to, and I was, lately, I hoop in 12s, and I had to go to 12.5.
There you go.
And so, did it when get everybody, too? I can did fit it, 12s.
Did it also get bigger when your feet got bigger?
Oh, yeah. Yep. Yep.
Good for
no
you,
doubt
bud.
About it. Yeah, I was. And I actually had to. I contemplated for a while. Should I stay in front of the camera or just move behind it? But you know,
yeah,
because it's growing. I mean, I got
that's
to capitalize.
Good for you, man. I wish I need to get me some of that for hims or whatever. Mito wants to talk Jordans.
What's up, Mito?
Hey, what up, guys? Man, I work at the shoe store. I had my size put to the side for me and everything, and they ran into some inventory issues. So they had to cancel my size to give it to the customers. Oh. Luckily, shout out to my homeboy Mike at a store manager. He hooked me up and he put my size to the side for me, man. I appreciate that.
We appreciate you so looking
was,
out for
it
us,
was even
too.
Rough on the people that work there.
Yeah, that does suck, but you
Where's
still
the
got them, right?
Yeah.
You still got them?
Oh, yeah. I ended up getting them.
You,
I got some for me and my girl.
Man, you
oh,
made me
man,
sick.
Where's get the hookup? Come on, man.
Rubbing that in.
Jerk.
Nonsense.
9 for Barry.
Yeah.
12 or 12.5 for me, Nick.
10.5.
10.5.
There you go.
There you go. Bigger feet than Barry. What does that tell you?
I mean,
you're toting more artillery, Nick.
No, I was
going to agree with that.
I was going to say he's taller than me, but you're not, huh?
I am taller than you.
Oh, are you?
Yeah,
I don't know.
Respect on my height.
We've had this discussion. You're also wider than me, so
better looking than you.
What?
Handsomer.
More clean pressed. More no, clean pressed.
No,
than his, no?
Don't okay. you even try that. You can have all that other stuff. Don't you say he's better and more clean pressed than me. I don't think so.
Where'd you get that coffee, dude? I tried to get a cup of coffee before the show.
I don't know.
It's hot, too. It's fresh.
Let's go to break.
Delicious.
Hey, tomorrow,
it's delicious.
Gatlin's Barbecue, in case you were trying to catch up with us for the lunchtime hour, stop by and see us. We're going to be there for the whole show, and it's 3510 Ella Boulevard. Boy, I'll tell you what, and you've heard the name. When they talk about the best barbecue in Houston, Gatlin's is always right up there. It is some good eats and some tasty treats, boys.
You mentioned, or we had a texter to say our Way Back Wednesday should be Christmas songs. And I had found this article that talked about the 5 Christmas songs that will never get old. First of all, is there a Christmas song that you hate? I would ask both of you, is there a Christmas song where
really,
you're like, I hate that song?
I really don't. I really don't have one that I really hate. I don't.
Okay.
I don't think I do either.
So these are the 5 Christmas songs that
do
they
you?
Say will never... No, I don't think so.
Some people hate Mariah Carey's new one because...
I Want for Christmas?
Yeah, but that's pretty...
That's one of the 5.
Became pretty popular.
That is one of the 5 songs, Christmas songs that will never get old. It's All I Want for Christmas Is You by Mariah Carey.
Okay.
Another one is... Brenda Lee's Rockin' Around the Christmas Tree.
Yep.
They say that's a song, a Christmas song.
Kind of upbeat and catchy.
The third one, I Saw Mommy Kissing Santa Claus.
That's kind of dumb.
That's just kids watching their parents have sex. So, the 4th Christmas song that will never get old, Santa Claus is Coming to Town.
Okay.
All right. And the fifth Christmas song that will never get old, I have never heard of in my entire life. I Want a Hippopotamus for Christmas. What?
Nope. No chance.
Have you
no
ever
clue.
Heard this song?
Nope. No.
You've never heard this?
I have not.
What on earth can we find this? I don't even know what the hell this is. I want a hippopotamus for Christmas. What the hell is that?
Wow, it like popped up in YouTube pretty quickly.
That makes really? No sense to me. It's by Gayla Peavy.
I'm never play in a million version. Years have I heard it. Now I would assume it's clean.
Yeah, I would assume it's clean right? too. Hope it's clean. But...
I want a hippopotamus.
Okay, you can cancel that right now. You can just shut that off. That is annoying. I've never heard that.
Don't want a doll, no dinky tinker toy. I want a hippopotamus dinky, to what? Play with.
All right, you asked for it, bro.
What on earth? I've never heard that song. How is that one of the five Christmas songs that'll never get old?
I mean, did I play the wrong version?
Or? No.
I'm pretty sure you got it right.
I'm going to listen to it on my laptop, but I... That's the same exact one from the article. Fuck, right? You know what she sounds like? She sounds like one of those dolls from the 50s. Not dolls, but like a lady that a guy would call. Hey, doll. Hey, Sella, how are you doing?
Sounds like a female version of Alvin and the Chipmunks.
Gayla
Peavy?
A little bit. She sounds like a 50s woman.
Where are you on Little Drummer Boy?
I don't care.
It was my grandma's favorite.
It was?
Yeah, so I heard it a lot when I was a kid.
You know what song can get old? 12 Days of Christmas.
That's true,
because
too.
Of our company meeting.
I used to hate the fact they used to make everybody sing it. You ever been in one of those? Where we'd go to my uncle's house, and you have to all sit around the dining room table, and everybody's got a placemat with one of the days of Christmas, and they just keep going. Oh, yeah. And so, grandma, kick it off with day number one, and then you got to go. And then, you know, I go, how many times are we going through this thing? I just want to go open presents.
Man, what Christmas song is this?
Eminem. Christmas
what?
Song.
I thought maybe you were playing another Christmas song.
It's a Marshall
song.
Mathers
like,
Christmas.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's right.
I personally would have played like a Lady Gaga Christmas song, but.
A Lady Gaga?
Well, that's my preference, but yeah.
Did you know that she and Bradley Cooper have a movie out where there's a song up for a Grammy?
First of all, I didn't know Lady Gaga had Christmas music. Second of all, does it surprise me that you listen to Lady Gaga? Go ahead. Ask me.
Is Gaga Jewish?
Ask me.
Because she might have a Hanukkah song. I'm just saying.
Joel. I don't know.
So
that's a good
the heat
question.
Off of you. You're that's not, but question. She is, yeah. I believe. The only place you'll want to be is underneath my Christmas tree. The only place
well, apparently not. She's singing about a Christmas tree.
Well, she's
being a little provocative, obviously.
That is
she's singing for the masses.
Because it's shaped like a Christmas tree.
Exactly.
Oh.
Ding, 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 ding. You get 2 points.
Okay.
As opposed to...
Underneath her wrong kind of toe. Not mistletoe. The other toe.
That was probably when she was relevant. Is she really relevant anymore?
Lady Gaga?
She had a movie this year.
Yeah.
I don't really pay attention to her, honestly. I was just kidding. I don't think she's relevant. Is she really relevant? She's doing anything? Well, okay, name one song that's popular right now of Lady Gaga.
It's not about the song. She had her acting career. They remade A Star Is
Born. I don't
born
think
this
of
year.
Lady Gaga as an actress.
I'm going to name the song for you.
Yeah, as soon as you ask Siri.
No, because it was in the damn article that I read yesterday.
It's up for an award for a Grammy, right?
Shallow.
Yeah.
By Lady Gaga
love
and Bradley Cooper.
And I'm sure you do too.
Shallow.
Nick, you're being extremely shallow by not considering her for what her overall value and worth and popularity is.
My father-in-law used to call her Lady Gaga. I loved it. I was like, yes. Wow. Pull some respect on it.
Chris, we see you. We'll get to you after the break. Don't go anywhere. We continue to roll on. And with that, it is indeed the usual suspects. And it is ESPN 97.5. Right now, before the break, I do want to tell you about the good people at Gallery Furniture. With the holidays upon us, you might be entertaining some people at your home. You just don't think your furniture is up to snuff to make sure that people see the real good side of you and see good furniture. Well, hit up one of the three locations of Gallery Furniture. Grand Parkway between Katy and Sugarland, the Galleria, and, of course, the mainstay I-45 North. Exit Tidwell Parker both ways. Lots of deals going on right now. They've got the deal right now where you can double down if the Astros win it all next year or the Rockets win it this year and you spend $3,000 or more on bedroom furniture, mattresses, Tempur-Pedic, Stearns & Foster. If they win it, you get it for free. Also, if you spend $4,000 or more on total furniture for your house, you get 40% of that back in accessories. Maybe you need some artwork for the walls, some rugs, some lamps, whatever. Just another way to try and enhance the deals that are going on a daily basis at Gallery Furniture. And the main things that Max says in the commercials are always going to be true. You buy today, you get it tonight within 3 to 4 hours of your purchase time. Delivery guys at your door. They're going to take care of you and make sure that there's no back order slips. If you see it on the showroom floor, you'll have it at your house that same day. You're not going to have to wait around and hope it gets there for the holidays. And of course, everything that Max says when it comes down to making sure you get a heck of a deal means that they are going to do whatever they can, because Gallery really will save you money.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, reminder, coming up after this segment, Jeff Blum's going to join us, the Blummer. Haven't had him on in a while, but perfect time to have him on, because hopefully things are heating up with the Hot Stove League and the winter meetings for Major League Baseball with your Houston Astros. Blummer, of course, doing the games on TV on AT&T Sportsnet with Todd Kallas. So he'll stop on in, tell us about some things he's been working on, and also what he thinks is going to happen with the Stros and with Major League Baseball with moves being made. Andrew McCutchen has just agreed to a deal with the Philadelphia Phillies, so he's going back to Pennsylvania.
Good.
Didn't really help the Yankees all that much.
Glad that he's not an Astro.
Okay. So take that off your list. Mm-hmm. Where are you on the fact that Polillo today said that Robinson Chirinos as a catcher is a 4 on a 1 to 10 scale, and that they still need a frontline catcher? He's part-time at best.
I think he would be quality depth. I think when he had the opportunity, he played pretty well. He's not going to hit for a high average. I don't know if I would say he's a 4.
Can I tell you what?
Maybe from what he's produced so far, but he's always been a backup. Like, he just recently, like I discussed when they got him, you know, once Jonathan Lucroy kind of started sucking in Texas, Chirino had his opportunity, and he played pretty well. Now, last year he didn't have a great year, but I think he's going to be better than Maldonado, especially at the plate, because he can hit for more.
I was
going
to say, can I give you the intangible? Look at what he's hit in Minute Maid over the last couple of years. He has feasted on the Crawford boxes. He's had some big hits even in the last couple of years when everybody's like, oh, it's a cakewalk against the Rangers. And he's come up with big home runs and really, really hit the ball well in that state. I think that might help them. But, you know, defensively, he's not Maldonado. So, you know, he's not McCann. But I don't know that he's going to be throwing guys out. You know better than I do in looking at the numbers. But defensively, he's not a guy that's going to throw a lot of guys out. He's a pretty good receiver.
Yeah, I was trying to look up his caught stealing percentage, and I'll find that. But I think it's fine. Realmuto, there was some rumors going around that there's talks of a 3-team deal between the Mets, the Yankees, and the Marlins for JT Realmuto. So That's probably a thing that's not going to happen if you're holding your breath as an Astro. We can get Blummer's thoughts on it as well. And we can get his thoughts on Chirino as a catcher and what he thinks. But Ken Rosenthal reported that the Yankees, Mets, and Marlins looking at a deal. Included in that deal are names that have been floated around, include Andujar of the Yankees and Noah Syndergaard of the Mets.
I've heard Syndergaard being flashed.
Yeah, and Jeter came out and said, look, if we're going to do the deal, I want a legitimate, bona fide major league player. And so they're not trying to just get prospects. So it'll be interesting to see. And maybe one of those guys goes to the Marlins, whether it be Andujar or Syndergaard, and ends up a Marlin. So,
and I tweeted out last night that from the meetings, they said the 7 teams still in it for Realmuto, and one of them was still the Astros. Hmm. So I don't know if they're done at catcher, if they're still trying to add at catcher. Is a combination of Chirinos and Stassi good enough for you?
No, I don't like that. No, I don't like that.
I don't either.
Some other rumors floating around about the Astros. There was a report from Brian McTaggart that said the Astros will possibly be adding payroll, that it might go up. They're not going to enter the luxury tax, but they might get close to it. That Jim Crane said he's given the green light to get closer. And so if there's a deal to be made that requires them to spend more money than they did last year in free agency or via trades, he's open to that. So that is a plus.
I think they're sitting on like 50 mil right now that they got to play with.
Also, the Astros have been in touch with the White Sox about Jose Abreu.
Do you like that?
I don't mind it. He had a down year. There was talks in the little blurb that I saw that because of the down year, he might be a value get for you, because you could probably get him cheaper than what you would if he had had a great season. But his slash line last year, 265, 325, 473 with 22 homers. Not great.
No.
Not what was expected of him. So you could maybe pay less for him, but maybe the White Sox don't want to sell low. So
I was going to say, because some people are saying he's a poor man's Goldschmidt. Pretty damn under a overpass homeless version of Goldschmidt, because yeah. Goldschmidt for average and everything else.
Abreu has never been considered an MVP.
Above.
Yeah. But so. And speaking of that, there were talks that the Astros were Uvaldi almost signed here. He wanted to come here. He really thought about it. I think the Astros were maybe second or third choice on his list. And then in the trade talks between the Astros and the Diamondbacks for Goldschmidt, the rumor was that they had included Bukauskas and but they didn't include Forrest Whitley. So that was one of the things that kind of held it
was
up.
Tyler White in that deal? Because I saw his name kind of thrown around in the I saw Tyler White's name thrown around in the Abreu deal. The beat writer for the White Sox was throwing out names, and it wasn't going to be Whitley, and it wasn't going to be Tucker, but it was going to be Bukauskas, and it was going to be Tyler White amongst a handful of players.
Okay.
So, don't know if you're all for that or not.
Let me see if I can find where the names were, because there was the other one that CNL Perez and JB Bukauskas.
I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
I'm totally fine with it.
But that also might be why you didn't get him, because the Diamondbacks probably wanted Forrest Whitley or they wanted Josh James, and CNL Perez was behind both of those guys. So they probably wanted two of the best prospects that the Astros had to offer for a guy who perennial MVP every time he steps on the field.
John Heyman had said, in terms of Real Muto, the seven teams that are still alive in the discussions, Yankees, Braves, Phillies, Astros, Padres, Mets, Dodgers. He said some deny being involved, but all are apparently enough to still be in the top seven. So take that into consideration there. And then I was looking for you for the people that the Astros would be giving up if the Abreu deal gets done. And it did involve Tyler White, CNL Perez, as you mentioned, in other deals. But again, no Whitley and no Tucker. So we'll see how that breaks out.
Yeah. Right now, though, folks, listen to me. Listen. You are running out of time when it comes to Christmas, and I want you to be a hero with the wife. Happy wife, happy life. And no better way to do that than with jewelry. We all know that. Women love jewelry. And I want you to save some money when you go out and you become this hero. That's why I want you to call Mark Klein at Klein's Fine Jewelry. Mark, how can you help the people look like heroes to their wives?
Well, it's that time of the year. We got 2 weeks left. And you know we have the Christmas party for ESPN. With John and Lance, I know you're coming by.
So pumped.
It's on December 21st at 7 a.m. to 11 a.m., so that's always a huge event. Diamond pendants, diamond earrings, bracelets, anything in jewelry, heart pendants, crosses, bracelets, whatever. If you want something still custom made, you have a picture of something, call me on the phone. I can quote you a price over the phone. We can make it. We have all the guys in the back making it. We've been doing this since 1969. I started in 1990. I'm not that old. But it's a family-owned and operated small store, and we take care of our customers every single time. So if you're looking for diamonds, diamond pendants, earrings, bracelets, whatever it is, you don't have to spend a lot of money. I have things that start at $100. So you think when I got to buy diamonds, it's going to be so expensive. Well, it's not. We take care of the customers every single year. We take care of them every single time. If you need anything in jewelry, don't go to some half-price sale. You come to Klein's Jewelry. It's going to be the best deal in the city of Houston. Compare the price, the quality, everything, the service, whatever you need in jewelry, come to Klein's Jewelry. Give me a call on the phone, 832-316-1388. That's 832-316-1388. We're at Westheimer in Fountain View. Give me a call. I'll make it the best deal in the city of Houston.
And I can vouch for that because he did for me long before that we started doing these commercials, man. Mark Klein hooked me up. You guys, make sure you call him. 832-316-1388. Mark, thank you so much, man. If I don't see you before the 21st, I will see you at the Christmas party.
All right, great. Thank you.
All right. Mark Klein, Klein's Fine Jewelry. Make sure you call him. 832-316-1388. We'll be back right after this. ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, 90 in the books, 90 still to go in the big show. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5 on a Tuesday. And anytime we can get this guy on the show, it is always extra special and the day gets better. I plugged this before, so you know it's coming. But Jeff Blum joins us right now, the Blummer, the man that you love to watch every single night when the Astros are in season and on AT&T Sportsnet. He and Todd Callis doing a fantastic job on the telecast. And on top of that now, Blummer, and I'll let you toot your own horn, love the title. You got a little podcast thing going on now, Bleacher Blum. Tell everybody how to catch that and where that came about.
Good to be on with you guys. Thanks again for the opportunity. And yeah, there was too much time in between the moments that I was on your show. So got some feedback from people and kind of tested the waters via Twitter. And it seemed like people were they'd be open to the possibility of maybe doing a podcast. So I've been talking with a friend back in California about possibly doing this, and we finally got the guts to go out and do it. And I think we just recorded our third episode today. I've got to cut it up and do the audio on it, which is always interesting because I'm not an audio technician, but I'm learning. But, you know, today, just to give you an example, I mean, we're going to cover a little bit of the Hall of Fame with Lee Smith and Harold Baines. Talk about some of our winter meeting experience, and that damn elf on the shelf, it took up some of our time on the podcast.
Now, wait a minute. I just want to make things very clear, too. If you weren't cheating on us with other competing stations, things would be different as well. But you know what? We'll even accept cheaters because we value you so much with the stuff that you bring to the table for the listeners.
No, I appreciate that. Yeah. You know, my job is great, but for 6 months out of the year, I feel kind of let out of those situations. So I kind of wanted to still stay a little bit relevant, talk a lot of Astros because the Astros are good, and I believe that they're going to make some moves in the winter meetings. And I just wanted to be out there and stay in touch with the fans because the fans have been so good to me that I wanted to continue that relationship, and it still seems to be going pretty good. Granted, this whole podcast is in the infancy, but we're having a good time doing it, and hopefully the fans listening at home too. It's on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, and it's been fun.
Nice. Hey, Blummer, listen, one of the things that we were just talking about prior to this segment was we were talking a little bit Astros and some rumors going around and, you know, some of the fact that they went out and got Chirinos already. And do you think that this is a team that still, I mean, you've seen some big names come off the board. And is this a team that's still going to hunt for a big splash, or are they confident that they're not going to overpay whether it be in prospects or money just to make a name? Do they feel like that they're set already?
I don't know if they've – I think that they feel like they've got a very good core, and I am – you know, obviously I'm in very much in agreement with that fact. I think, you know, with Correa, Altuve, Springer up the middle, you've got Alex Bregman at third base, your rotation's going to be – is good so far. I mean, you've got Verlander and Gerrit Cole. You can bring McHugh out of the bullpen. Lance McCullers is obviously going to be down. So there's obvious spots where this team could get better if they wanted to. But like you said, in order to get better, you may have to give up a little bit of your talent and sacrifice a little bit of the future for what you want to go out and achieve right now. And I think that they've done a very good job in locating targets that they want to go out and get if the price is right. And that, or maybe there's some targets out there that they're willing to pay a little bit more for to get in return. JT Realmuto, the catcher from Miami, is a guy that they covet. But I'm not sure that Miami is going to lower their asking price. But I think that there are definite targets out there as far as starting pitching. The Arizona Diamondbacks are interesting to me just because with them letting go of Paul Goldschmidt, it kind of opens the possibility of a guy like a Zach Greinke being available who might be out there. But you know, last year at this time, we had no idea Gerrit Cole was on the radar. He shows up and turns into maybe 1B as far as the Astros' rotation. So maybe they've got something like that lined up for this offseason too.
Now, you mentioned a lot of names, and we've kicked around a lot around here too, but we're also talking about the fact that another team that looks to be fire sailing, like the Mariners, mm-hmm. and maybe the Diamondbacks, are the Indians. We know that Carrasco just re-upped. He's probably not going anywhere. So that becomes a two-pitcher race for who's available. Corey Kluber, which I guess there's no problems with, but I threw it out there and even did a video for sportsmap.com. Would the Astros be okay if Trevor Bauer was targeted, and would the likes of a Gerrit Cole and an Alex Bregman be able to get over it? Because we know Bregman is also all about social media with this guy, but let's be real. He's been critical of the Astros, the spin rate, the cheating that he thinks is going on, and the fact that as college teammates, he and Gerrit Cole weren't exactly best friends, and you got Cole coming up in a year. Would the Astros be willing to even consider that?
Oh, my, absolutely. And only for the reason that I think that their emphasis is more on analytics. And Tyler Bauer is a guy who fits into the analytics. He believes in the analytics. And I think he also understands that the Astros would be maybe a little more conducive to his different style of going out and getting ready to pitch. But that being said, they also do put a little bit of emphasis on what's going on in the clubhouse. For me personally, I think that Alex Bregman and Tyler Bauer, if you put them in the same room, they'd be able to work it out.
Mm-hmm.
But you bring up an interesting point with Gerrit Cole. That's a history. There's some residual effects there maybe that might be a little bit different in this day and age. But at the same time, when you dangle the carrot of a world championship in front of guys and say, hey, if we play well enough, we will go out and win a world championship. And there's plenty of teams in the history of baseball who have gotten in fights in the clubhouse and beat up on other teams on the field. So that might be something that they're willing to try and fight through.
We were talking about rumors earlier, and there was a post by the Boston Globe, by a reporter from the Boston Globe, that said Jose Abreu might be a guy that the Astros are considering. Thoughts on that as an addition to this team? I know he didn't have a great year last year, but what are your thoughts if they were to pursue somebody like an Abreu?
I'm a big fan of Abreu, and the White Sox are in an interesting spot where they have great young talent, where they're trying to maybe get a few key free agents and maybe make a push for a guy like Bryce Harper or Manny Machado. But that being said, Jose Abreu, I would love to see in an Astros uniform just because of the quality of hitter and, you know, the relationship that he might have with a guy like Yuli Gurriel coming out of Cuba. I think these guys are true professional hitters. It would be interesting to me because it would be, you know, would Abreu be your first baseman, and would that push Yuli Gurriel into a DH utility type spot where you could see Yuli playing some third base to give Alex a couple days off, or Yuli at second or short, you know, to give these guys days off, but make him primarily at the age of 30, I think he's at 36 now, make him primarily your DH. But that is an explosive bat in Jose Abreu that would be a phenomenal addition to that lineup.
Now, on your wish list, you talked about starting pitching. We talked a little bit about the fact that, look, they need a little help with a bat or two in the lineup, possibly, maybe for designated hitter, first base, catcher, whatever. If you had a wish list, putting together what Luno should look at and do, what would be your top three in terms of guys the Astros should target?
I would like to see him go out and get his starting pitcher. I'm not sure what name to put next to that, but a top-of-the-line rotation, a top-three starter, if they're available out there. I'm not sure who that could be or who they would like to target to bring in, who, you know, because the package coming back would be a little bit of an issue for the Astros. But for me, I am a guy who I love Michael Brantley. I loved watching him with the Cleveland Indians. I know he's a free agent. I love the fact that he would fit nicely into left field with this Astros team because it's not a real defensive position to play 81 games in Minute Maid Park. It's all about positioning. And I think he's serviceable enough to play some defense, but it's the bat. A left-handed bat, a left-handed power bat, a high-contact bat, in the middle of that Astros lineup would really lengthen things out and give A.J. Hinch a ton of options to kind of maneuver some of those right-handed power bats that he already has in his lineup. I'm on the Michael Brantley train right now, and if I was in that war room, so to speak, I would be pushing for a guy like that.
It seems like every big name right now, or most of the big names, are coming out of Cleveland. What do you make of the fire sale that's going on over there?
You know what? That's an interesting dynamic for me to understand what they're doing in the American League Central, just because I think they're trying to wait out and see what the White Sox do, who keep threatening to do something major. But that division is terrible. The American League Central is the worst division in all of baseball for me, and I don't see any other teams going out and making the effort to get better. So I don't think that there's really an urgency in the Cleveland Indians organization to go out there and keep some of these guys, if not, you know, try some of their younger talent or trade guys away to get younger talent and try and, you know, kind of keep pace with what the Central is doing. Because I don't feel that the Indians, even if they lose a Kluber or if they lose a Michael Brantley, they're not going to be hurting in that division, because you keep a guy like Lindor, Jose Ramirez, Clevinger, you know, Bauer, and those guys. So it's a bad division all the way around.
Let me ask you this, Blummer, because you've been there as a player. You've seen this league. Where are you on this whole thing about everybody debates, well, you can't give up a prospect because he has potential. And, you know, the top prospects, you got to hang on to those guys because they could be franchise changing. But when you're as close as you are, and obviously the Astros have already tasted the victories of winning a World Series, where do you draw the line, and what's your philosophy on, hey, if you're there and you're in go-for-it mode, it's okay to give up one of your one or two top prospects because you're getting players that can help you now and you need to win now, versus the philosophy of you can't give up any of your top prospects because that's your future?
It's tough because the Astros are in a window right now, and I'm just taking the Astros because I know them best out of baseball. But it would be probably my overall mentality, if I was sitting in a room with these guys, is understanding where your ball club is at this given moment. And this given moment, this window that the Astros have opened up by having such supreme talent in comparison to other teams across the league, I would be a little more willing to let go of some of my prospects in the sense that we have a chance to win now. And I think that's what you kind of saw when they brought Justin Verlander over. When they brought Gerrit Cole over, they sacrificed some big league talent that maybe had potential. But with the core group of guys that they have right here and the ability to go out there and score runs, I would like to see, you know, the organization maybe take a chance if they feel that, you know, the catching spot in Real Muto is the guy they want to be able to go out and do that. But in the same token, you've got to be able to keep fans interested in your ball club when this window maybe closes a little bit, and that way you keep the fans engaged is by showing them that you do have a strong talent base in the minor leagues. But again, you guys know as well as I do, covering all sports, there's proven talent in the big leagues and there's potential talent in the minor leagues. You just can't predict the future in professional sports, because once you get to that elite level, at top level, anything goes. You know, you don't know if a guy is going to exceed expectation or if he's going to underachieve. So it's a tough call. But when you have a window the way the Astros do right now, I think it's win now.
But before we let you go, you had mentioned earlier about the Hall of Fame and Harold Baines getting in. Thoughts on that? I mean, he was primarily a DH. I know he played some right field, but thoughts on him going in where you know, towards the down the stretch of his career, he was primarily a DH. You good with it?
Yeah. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, you good with him getting in? I know it was the Veterans Committee basically that put him in, but you good?
I'm okay with it. I think it's interesting, and I think it actually opens a door for a lot of guys moving forward, and we actually talked about that a little bit on our podcast today, is that, you know, Harold Baines played for 22 years, 2,800-plus hits, 384 home runs, I believe. But, you know, that number of hits and that number of home runs kind of brings in a lot of other guys. Jeff Kent's in a similar area. Scott Rowland's in a similar area. You know, Lance Berkman had as many or more home runs. So you start to look at other guys, and it kind of opens that picture a little bit to other guys. That's the only concern I have, is if you start considering guys like Harold Baines, who I think was a very good ball player because he was a threat every time he stepped in the box, you've got to start broadening your numbers a little bit, or you got to start broadening your names a little bit to go look at some other guys, because now you've put the bar, not lowered the bar, but you've put the bar at Harold Baines' status. There's going to be a lot of guys that are at that bar or above it who probably never got consideration. And the thing about Harold is he only got 6.1% of the votes. That was his high watermark when he was on the Hall of Fame ballot. That's a little worrisome for me.
Mm-hmm. Blummer, we appreciate your time, brother. We know you're busy, and it's always a pleasure to have you on. Again, people, follow that podcast, Bleacher Blum, and you can find that, as he said, on iTunes and other places, and always follow him at Blummer27. If we don't talk to you before the holidays, my man, have a great holiday, and we look forward to catching up in the new year.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on again, guys, and thanks for plugging that podcast. You guys be well.
There you go. Jeff Blum, always a great time having him on the show. All right, we're going to continue with much more. Before we head to the break, I do want to tell you about the good people at Infuse Energy, Josh Pestikoff and his staff. I switched to Infuse Energy a little over a year ago. I'm telling you, I saved thousands of dollars over what I was paying with the big name energy company. And you can too, because they take the time to talk to you and they set up and tailor make a plan for you specifically with the right rate, whether it be for weekends and or, you know, weeknights or days or whenever you use energy the most, whenever you use the energy the least. Is it for a business? Is it for your family? They ask you questions. It's not an automated system because they want answers that can help them help you. It's a fantastic program, all locally owned and operated, as I said, and they're dedicated to Houstonians. Give them a call, 844-INFUSE2, 844-463-8732, or check out infuseenergy.com. You mentioned ESPN 97.5, and right off the top, you get a $25 bill credit, and they go from there. They're never going to try and screw you over or try to deceive you or pull the wool over your eyes. Sometimes that means they're even going to tell you that there's competition out there that can give you a better rate. But they hope that that establishes a true relationship and eventually a friendship with you so that they can make sure that you trust them and they can do and provide for you exactly what you need from an energy provider. It's affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back and 100% green energy at your fingertips. Infuse energy into your life.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, one segment to go in hour number two of the big show. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5, and the Sports Mappers will join us at the top of the hour. Great to catch up with our man Blummer. If we had more time, I would have asked him about his philosophy on Elf on a Shelf.
I know, that would have been interesting.
I got to tell you, not real well-versed on it, never did it, never even thought about it. But that's the subject that came up.
Uh-oh.
Lisa said, when do we have to start doing this whole Elf on a Shelf thing? I'm like, never. The what? And she's like, yeah, it's a big thing.
It is.
I do it for the cat. Yeah, I don't. Yeah. Mm-mm. I'm glad you worked that out.
We do Mouse on the Shelf.
Okay.
I'm just kidding.
I don't think you are. But I'm not. So the concept is you hide the elf somewhere else every day?
Yeah, the elf is mischievous. Like, he gets into trouble and you find him in the morning. They wake up and the elf is sitting on a carton of cracked eggs.
I see people staging it where the elf is grabbing onto the bowl of the toilet. In the toilet, there's like throw up.
Boo-boo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just crazy stuff.
What's the concept?
So the kids go and want to find the elf every day?
I don't know. I really don't know the concept, but I would just attach him to a dog's leg and just be like, well, he tried to hump the dog last night, so.
I mean, that's actually kind of creative. I could attach to one of our dogs and then have Taylor go, where is it?
Yeah.
And have the dog just running around.
That's it. I like it.
Because some people say, based on how many days the kid finds the elf, that's the toys that they get.
Oh,
well,
really?
I'd be hiding that damn thing all over so you can't find it.
Be in the attic.
Yeah. But
Underneath the sink with all the cleaning products so she can't open the door.
Say, we're not doing that. And no, she can't get to the cleaning products.
That's what I'm saying. Put it under there. That way she never finds it.
Well, that kid can get...
Oh.
We had to change our locks so it doesn't have the what do you call it? On the one side, not the deadbolt, where you can the latch where you can turn it.
Yeah.
Because she locked us out of the house because she turned the latch.
That story. Yeah.
So
had to bust the car window.
By the way, Daryl Moore, you don't have enough to do.
Uh-oh.
Enough on your plate.
What did he tweet to you?
You know,
did
you
he
had
text you and
you,
say
no,
something
you had
nasty?
Mentioned how we thought we had an issue when Kyrie Irving said that the world was actually flat.
Yes.
And believed it.
Yes.
But now Steph Curry is out there.
Yes.
Saying that he really doesn't believe that astronauts landed on the moon.
Okay.
Okay. So Daryl, who doesn't have enough to do because his team is the best record and they're playing the... okay. So Daryl doesn't have enough to do. So he sends a picture or tweets it to Steph Curry that says it's a picture of NASA mission control at the first launch. It says, today we salute the 400,000 people involved in faking 6 moon landings and for thanking them for keeping their mouths shut for 49 years. So you already want to poke the bear because, you know, Steph Curry has nothing in ammunition to go back at him with. Like, oh, you're going to send me that? Aren't you worried about the fact that you aren't even close to us right now or anyone else in the West except the Phoenix Suns?
That is bad. You're closer to the Suns than you are the Warriors.
Yeah. Hey, there you go. Well, there's your answer right there. Forget what, closer instead to the of sun. Focusing on the moon and me, shouldn't you be focused on the Suns who are like right on your tails for the worst record in the West? There's your tweet.
Sheesh.
Yeah. How about that?
Somebody did say that our theme for Wayback Wednesday should be songs about space because Curry's a dumbass.
Okay.
That wouldn't be a bad theme. Songs about space.
You know, some people call me the space cowboy. Just saying, man. It's my thing.
Thank you. You were pretty quick with that.
Yeah, well.
Chris Householder said, Elf on the Shelf is the worst thing that has ever happened to our family. See, I'm just glad. Yet another reason not to have kids. Yet another. Another suggestion for Wayback Wednesday, songs that describe the Rockets right now.
That could be.
Boy. Joel's going to do all 3 hours.
It would be nothing but sunshines and rainbows.
Yeah, sure.
Rocket Man.
Somebody suggested songs you dress sharp to. Or, since y'all are hilarious, songs that are hilarious are funny. I think they meant me. Not y'all are hilarious. They meant Barry is hilarious.
Of course he did, because y'all, you're funny.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, that's what my Twitter handle says.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Did Kid change his to at Kid is funny?
No, it's Kid from Kid and Play.
Oh,
that's his handle. Works. Yeah, there Kid from Kid and Play is his handle.
Okay.
Real quick, I wanted to, because you guys know I'm a big gamer. The gaming awards are coming up, and you know how I am super into gaming and how I think it's great that there's esports. That's not true. Esports is stupid. These are the games of the year. Nick, you play a little bit. If you agree or disagree with any of these, let me know. Your Game of the Year award finalist, Assassin's Creed Odyssey, which I have, but I haven't played yet. I have not played
Assassin's Creed at all.
Celeste. I don't even know what the hell that is.
I don't either.
God of War. Had it, have it, finished it, loved it.
Never played it, but I've heard great things about it.
Marvel's Spider-Man.
No.
Don't have it. Heard it was fun. Not something that really interested me very much. Monster Hunter World. Then Red Dead Redemption 2. Oh, nope. Baby.
I figured it would. How come Fortnite and Call of Duty's not in that?
Because that's the ongoing game. Best ongoing game. Destiny 2, Fortnite, No Man's Sky, Overwatch, or Tom Clancy's Rainbow Six Siege. So Fortnite's going to win that for sure. I feel like the game of the year comes down to God of War and Red Dead Redemption 2.
I kind of figured you'd have that in your mix.
Not just because those were the only two that I played, but I just feel like those were the two most popular. So
I saw something
interesting that no sports games make game of the year. I'm sure there's a sports game category. I just find it interesting that they don't make that game of the year.
Okay.
Yes.
See, Josh Johnson, by the way, said that the only way he could get to know his new teammates for the Redskins when he was signed real quickly was to play Madden so he could figure out who was on the roster.
Really?
Yeah.
Nice.
And then another story I saw was a guy was playing Fortnite and he does it with a camera.
Huh?
And his fiance interrupted him in the middle of a game and he swung on her.
What?
And she had the video proof from the fact that he was videoing in the process of doing the whole, whatever you call that site where you're videoing while you're playing.
Yeah, Stitch.
And she had all that she needed in terms of ammunition to get the dude arrested.
They even have those. Speaking of Twitch, they even have content creators of the year. Ninja, Pokimane, Lupo, Myth, and Willy Rex. I'm going to have to go with Willy Rex. I have no idea.
What about Boxcar Willie? Or whoever that
was. Stop it. Bushwick Bill.
Bushwick Bill. Hey, guess what? Two in the books. One to go. Still an hour of the show, and the Sports Mappers join us next. Don't go anywhere. It's the Usual Suspects. ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.